this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Hey, Jeremy, can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
I think so. You got a tingling down somewhere.
A little tingle, yeah. I'm going to talk about some tingling in a little bit. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I'm smiling right now and batting my eyelashes. So we've got Jeremy and Diana tonight.
Yeah, I'm one of those two.
Yeah.
You can decide which.
Yeah, I'm the other. So how's it going?
It's going. I'm alive, I guess. I'm tired. I did not get my nap tonight. Recorded another show earlier. Kind of lost track of time.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I have to prepare to do another show. Yeah, I have to prepare to do another show. Luckily, the BIP twins are not here tonight. So
right.
Because they have an early morning doctor's appointment. So
yeah.
I can get away with not napping because after the show and I finish the edit, I can actually sleep until like probably 10, maybe 10:30 tomorrow morning
before
get up and go do my couple of walks for the day. So
yeah, when we end the show tonight, it'll be 1 o'clock for me. And normally it takes me a good hour afterwards, if not longer, to actually go to sleep. And then I have to wake up at 6:30. So
yeah, that's kind of brutal. Wait a minute, mm-hmm. you still have to wake up at that? Aren't you working from home?
I know. Believe me, my schedule has to somewhat match the people on the East Coast because that's where the headquarters of my company is, and the majority of the people work out there, leadership and that type of thing. So.
So 6:30
kind of match that. Well, no, I don't actually start work till 7.
But I got you. I was just thinking because that's what 8:30. So you got to be on pace for them at 9. Gotcha. Oh, okay, that makes sense now. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, that stinks. So. I would. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I could be that disciplined.
Right. Well, and the other thing too is that you would think that, you know, being able to remote in, work from home, it would be really nice if I could kind of work my, you know, make my own hours, do my work when I want to do it. It'd be nice to be able to do that. But a lot of it is a matter of being available when other people need me.
Of course. Yeah, I know. I understand that. I mean, yeah, the ideal, of course, is to be able to make your own hours. But, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't think you had to start that early in the morning. that's still kind of rough.
Yep.
Although I shouldn't actually, I mean, you know, when I was running my business for years, my first visit of the day was 7:30. So I would have to, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I'd actually have to get up that early. I guess even when you're the boss, you still have to answer to somebody, I guess.
Yeah, to the customer. Definitely. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, so, well, yeah.
Gotta make a living somehow.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out how to do right now.
Yeah.
Everything going on with me and my, I got court. It was, I think, at the end of next week. Still don't know actually what's going to actually happen with that. We were talking a little bit before the show. Still trying to sell my house. Hopefully have some people that are going to be coming to look at it soon. Some like-minded folks, actually, which would kind of be nice to, hand my house off to it as another set of anarchists and just kind of give a big F you to my neighborhood as I leave. Be like, yeah, I'm leaving, but, somebody, another one of me is taking my place. So good luck. So, yeah, because...
You think they're as belligerent as you are?
I highly doubt that.
That would be hard.
Yeah, it would be. So
set the standard pretty high.
Yeah, I definitely do. Hey, listen, you know, they tell you to reach for the stars and stuff. That's, you know, right. I went for it. Go big or go home, right? You know? That whole thing. YOLO, whatever the kids are saying these days. I have no idea.
I don't think they're saying that anymore.
I don't think so either.
I think YOLO is out.
I probably is. I have no idea. You know, I'm so far behind the times, you know.
But it's still true, you know. It's like you still only live once, but whatever.
Allegedly, you know.
Allegedly, yeah.
So.
But according to, I guess, the thoughts on reincarnation, even if you do live more than once, you wouldn't really know it.
Oh, is that what they say? Is that seems like a cop out? I mean,
if you're somebody on the level of the Dalai Lama, I mean, that's kind of how he gets to be the Dalai Lama. That's I guess that's one of the tests.
Because he remembers his past lives.
He remembers remembers something from. Because the lamas, I think the Dalai Lamas, they reincarnate one from another, one to another, is, I think, and I could be wrong about this, you know, and if I am, and if people, you know or understand how it works better than I do, feel free to comment once the show's up. But that one Dalai Lama is reincarnated into another. And the test is if you recognize the belongings of the deceased Dalai Lama, or at least maybe not the one that is there right now, or like in, I guess, I don't know what you call it, like not ruling, but in the seat, I guess, of the Dalai Lama.
The current Lama.
I couldn't think of the word current, which is crazy, but he has to recognize the belongings of a deceased Dalai Lama. And if he does, then it's like, whoa, okay. You're probably a reincarnated Dalai Lama. So.
Interesting.
You win. Yeah.
sounds like a job right for con artists. Oh, of course I recognize those.
Well, it would be a kid. I think it would typically be a kid.
Oh, is that how? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Typical American mocking the stuff that I don't know.
Well, I've seen a couple of movies about the Dalai Lama, so, and in one of them it showed it, you know, it was a dramatization of him as a kid, and somehow, I don't know, they had some idea of what region that he should be coming from and what family and that type of, or the village and the region and everything. And so they kind of narrowed it down and got it down to him, and they gave him the test of one of the previous Dalai Lama's belongings, and he passed that. And I'm sure that there's other things that he had to do as well. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it would necessarily be him conning or anybody conning at all consciously. But I would imagine that there could potentially be nonverbal cues and subconscious kind of cueing, you know, not realizing that you're doing it. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Like body language?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, animals can, you know, like, know that, you know, that animals are very aware of nonverbal cues that humans give off. So that's why drug sniffing dogs suck.
Yes, drug sniffing dogs. Well, drug sniffing dogs suck because cops.
Right, exactly. And probably a lot of what's happening is they're getting nonverbal cues from their from the cop.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I was actually just reading where it's like, oh, John, our co-host John Vibes wrote a piece about this that I was reading recently. Although I can't remember if it was a recent piece or not, because as we discussed on the air the other night when I was on with him, he's been making a killing on Steemit recently by posting like all of his old articles. He's just like reposting them there without the byline anymore. So people are just reading this stuff, and you know, he's picking stuff that isn't exactly, you know, time sensitive, really, and just go mm-hmm. throwing it back out there. And people are like, oh, loving this stuff. So I don't know if it was an old story or a new story, but it was about the drug-sniffing dogs and how they keep getting to be proven inaccurate because, you know, I think courts have actually ruled a couple of times against them because the mm-hmm. fact that, you know, they can't be relied upon yeah. because, you know, people are, you know, anytime somebody's arrested, that's what they try to appeal on immediately is like, you know, the cop, I didn't have anything, or the cop signaled them or whatever it is.
Right.
And cops will claim that they don't. But then other cops who have come out, there has been a couple of whistleblowers that have basically said, yeah, this is exactly the training we get.
Oh, know, wow. So they get training to
in
full awareness, cue the dog or signal the dog.
You're told. I mean, I had a client for years who was a cop and who. He was in the canine unit for a while, and then the dog that I took care of for him was supposed to be he got him originally. It was a German Shepherd, and you know he got him with the full intention of him being a canine cop. And whatchamacallit, I think it was something with his hips or whatever it was, but he was ruled ineligible basically. But you know, obviously it was a cute little puppy, a guy fell in love with it, so he kept him.
Yeah.
So he was never actually a cop, so I was cool with taking care of the dog because the dog wasn't a cop. But I talked to him about it, and you know, he said, like, you know, you really the relationship that they pretty much beat into your head that you're supposed to instill with this animal is like you're supposed to form this like really, you know, tight bond between the handler and the mm-hmm. dog, and yeah. You know that they'll basically do anything for you, and mm-hmm. part of that is responding to, you know, all sorts of different cues depending on the
right.
situation, you know, because
yeah.
you may, I mean, it starts with, well, you may need nonverbal cues for situations like if they're in legitimate danger.
Meow.
Yeah, I hear that. but yeah, so it starts with that, but then of course that can get abused, and we'll talk about that more when we get back. Worms.
Right on, worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Cock-a-doodle-oo.
And we're back.
We're back.
Yeah. And speaking of woof, we were talking about dogs when we headed into the last break. Police dogs, to be exact. And the training of them. And I was saying, you know, I learned through talking to a former client of mine, you know, how close that these handlers get with their dogs, and how they're basically, you know, taught to train them is to, you know, the dogs are supposed to respond to a whole bunch of different types of commands, including nonverbal cues, you know, just simply for safety purposes, you know, if they're being, you know, held at gunpoint or something or whatever, you know, if they, you know, whatever, somebody's turned the table on the cops and that whole thing, and they need to signal the dog or some way. So it starts with stuff like that. Suppose, you know, you just like anything, almost everything with government, usually with some type of good intentions to start out with, but then it can be easily yeah. manipulated, because now once you have that type of relationship with a dog where, you know, you've bonded with a dog, and you right. see this a lot. I mean, people have remarked about how it is just with my own dog and the bond that my, you know, murder dog and I have, you know, how she just views me above everybody, like all other humans, you know, obviously I'm her human, you know, and how she's connected with me, you know. Roxy's the same way with you, you know. She may love other people.
Not really.
Isn't she? You're not her human? She doesn't care?
I mean, I'm one of her humans. I think we talked about this last time.
Oh, that's right.
Together. She seems to prefer Dave.
Oh, that's right. She's been replaced. Well, yeah, so anyway, but she still has a human, you know. That's what it is. They usually latch onto that one person. And so, you know, when you have that type of bond and you're reinforcing it for a specific purpose, especially with working breed dogs, you know, cuz generally it's German shepherds are the most often used dog for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're they'll listen to anything you say and do anything for your approval. So it's quite easy. And it's been shown time and time again. There's been like video evidence of this shown where cops have been seen, you know, shown where there's like nothing. And it's just like they'll make like a hand movement or you'll see it on the video where the cops like, you know, wrapping this hand on the hood or something, kind of like nonchalantly. But it's like just as that happens, all of a sudden the dog like barks and like or points or whatever they're trained to do.
Right.
You know, so. The fact that they use these practices is just, I actually said something about this on one of John's articles. Like I said, I was reading it, I think it was yesterday or today, and I had to comment on it. And I'm like, you know, as a canine behaviorist and a dog trainer, I'm like, this is just despicable. Cause like, you know, cause they'll always claim, and it even said in the article, there was a quote from, you know, police sergeants from somewhere saying, oh, we don't train the dogs to do this stuff. I'm like, it's like for them to say that, it's just such a bald-faced lie for them to come out and like try to claim that they don't train the dogs to do these type of things. That's just absolute BS. They've been caught with their hands red, so, you know, red-handed so many times with this stuff. It's just so obvious that, you know, because can dogs be trained to sniff certain things out? Sure, absolutely. I've done it with when I did behavioral work with dogs in the past, especially like high energy, hyperactive dogs that were either being destructive or being aggressive or whatever it was. And, you know, part of the thing is to drain their energy by like doing activities that are not just physical, but also mental. And, you know, it was basically a seek mission. You know, I would hide things and they'd have to find it. And you could train them to find anything just by scent. So it can be done, absolutely. But like, you know, you see a lot of these times where these busts, like there's no way the dog was sniffing through like all wherever the thing was hidden, like all the different components, like the steel and everything else that was in the way. Like the dog wasn't sniffing that. They were totally, triggered by the cop because the cop knew what they were doing and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a dirty practice. And, you know, I hate the fact that they use dogs.
Yeah, and it should be inadmissible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, luckily it has been in a lot of cases. I've seen it where it has been thrown out, but you know, too often it's one of those rubber stamp things. Oh, the cop said it's good, so it's got to be good. You know, but leave it to government to do things like this to us and make me almost want to hate certain dogs, which is hard for me to do.
Don't mouse pocket me, bro.
Did I wee you? I didn't mean to.
You asked us.
I didn't mean to us. I should have said me. It's late. I'm tired. The occasional mouse pocket comes out.
Yeah. It's okay to say the government's screwing us, because they are.
This is true.
Everyone.
Yeah, that's right. Even if you don't agree with me, they're screwing you anyway.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Meow, meow. Yep.
I'm actually drinking tea as well.
Mine is specific for nighttime. It's not, I don't think it's supposed to relax me. I feel pretty relaxed right now, but I don't think it's the tea.
It's not sleepy time tea.
No, it's something, I don't know.
Is it decaffeinated, though? Or is it got,
definitely. Yeah, it's...
I'm drinking, like, the high-powered green tea.
Yeah. No, this actually has dandelion in it, too. Like, we talked about dandelion before.
No, I got my dandelion, too.
It has some other stuff, too. It's supposed to be really the tea. It's actually a set of teas. It's an AM, an all-day, and a PM, and they come in, like, three different tins, but they're, like, they come together in three different tins. I think they all have dandelion in them, but then they have other stuff, too. But it is... I think all three are geared toward improving digestion. It's supposed to be kind of like for detoxing and stuff like that, too. So
yeah, with the dandelion, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad. I'm drinking that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, so I hinted at something earlier on. During the introduction, you said that you could feel it. It was tingling.
Yes.
And then you mentioned, I'm trying to make a segue here. Okay. Then you mentioned when you were talking about, certain types of dogs and, that need to expel a lot of energy or they become destructive. And I'm definitely, that type of dog. I'm realizing, kind of like it's taken me a really long time to realize this, but I've realized that I have to expend a lot of energy to feel better or to not be anxious and stressed out. And I sort of figured that out today. And I figured that out by trying a breathing technique developed by this dude, this Dutch guy named Wim Hof. It's kind of a weird name. It's Wimhof. It was really interesting. When I said I feel really relaxed, I think it's because I've been breathing like that all day long or for hours. I've been very focused on my breathing, and it's actually pretty simple. And it doesn't involve any kind of meditation or anything like that, even though I think the technique does come from a meditative practice, related to some degree to yoga. And specifically like Kundalini yoga, but really it's just, I mean, this dude, okay, so like look him up, and I don't know if we could provide a link or something like that, maybe to his website or something, but he's broken a lot of records for being able to sit in ice for over an hour and a half, and he's been able to do this through this breathing practice. He's been doing it for a really long time, but he can essentially do anything. He ran a marathon through the Namib Desert in Africa with no water, like ran a full marathon. He's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro several times wearing only shorts. Dude's crazy. He's done things that no human being should be able to do. And supposedly he's been able to do these things through this breathing technique. And basically it's just and you do it like three times. And I think this is, you know, it's kind of the basic technique is that you breathe in, you essentially hyperventilate yourself. And that's kind of what it feels like. I mean, you feel like definitely feel lightheaded when you do it, but you breathe in.
Hence the relaxation.
I know, right?
It's a slight little euphoria as you're.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does a lot. I mean, I was listening to him
it's nature's whippet.
kind Kind of, yeah. But I mean, I mean, it does something to your brain. It does something to all of your cells because you're getting all of this oxygen. You're oxygenating all the cells of your body. And I mean, he's made a lot of claims about it, and there have been some scientific studies done on his blood and stuff like that. I watched him on Joe Rogan earlier and just got really, really intrigued and just started doing this breathing all around the house, like ever since then, for hours. It hasn't been very structured, but the structured technique is essentially you inhale as deeply as you can. I mean, you breathe, like you actually breathe. I mean, when you think about it, most people don't really breathe. They breathe enough to survive, you know? Most people breathe very shallowly. I don't know if that's an adverb or not, but yeah, most people their breath tends to be very shallow. And I mean, this is definitely like a deep breathing thing. And so you breathe in as deeply as you can, and then you kind of let it go, but you don't breathe out all the way before you take your next really deep breath. And you do this for about a minute. And then once you've can like 30 to 40 breaths, and then once you've completed that last breath within that minute, or how, if you're counting the 30 or 40 breaths, you release it all the way, and then you hold it in the release state as long as you can. So your lungs are not full of air. They have no more air in them, very little. And you hold that because you've oxygenated your body by doing these breaths. And that's, I mean, it's kind of a technique that divers use. By hyperventilating yourself, you're oxygenating your body so that you don't really need to take in as much air when you do that. So you kind of hold it as long as you can, and you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it until you become super tense. Like if you really start to have the urge to breathe, you should do it. But the goal is to do that. And then when you do take a breath, you hold that for a little bit too. And then you start the process over again. The goal is to get to where you can like hold your breath in the exhaled state, for up to 3 minutes or longer. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just supposed to do all kinds of things for your health physically as well as mentally. And honestly, I don't know if it's placebo or what, but I was feeling pretty anxious earlier just for no apparent reason. I mean, you and I have talked about this, and I think I've mentioned on the show, I've had problems with anxiety and depression. I'm certainly not ashamed to say that. I've been looking for, I'm not opposed to medication, but I've also like really wanted to look for more kind of natural ways to help that. And I think this might be one of them because my anxiety kind of went away after I did this a little bit, this breathing technique.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, actually, once you started describing all the stuff this guy's done, I remember I have heard of him before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't looked too far into it, but I know plenty of people who have done stuff with this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just know just from running, just from back in the day when I used to run, mm-hmm. there's definitely something to breathe, just breathing, which like you said, most people, hear you doing it over there. Most people just take it for granted and don't take, because as you were talking about the fact that, most people take shallow breaths, I was like recognizing my own breath and going, yeah, my breath's mm-hmm. pretty shallow right now. Mm-hmm. Although I do these days, I'm tending to take deeper and deeper breaths because once again, I'm trying mm-hmm. to get myself back off cigarettes. So
yeah.
I can actually breathe. I can breathe a little bit better now. So I do take deeper and deeper breaths, but I do, like I said, I know just from, training to run and stuff like that, the mm-hmm. benefits of
breathing really important.
Yeah. Breathing, yeah. One way versus another, and mm-hmm. just how that affects your performance and stuff like that. So I could totally mm-hmm. see how it would be, and because it is you used in a lot of meditation practices and stuff like that, that obviously it can, you know, can very easily be used to center you, which would help with, you know, anxiety issues and stuff like that, you know, and you know, like you said, you literally just started doing this, but even if it is just an early placebo effect, it's still helping, you know, what you were looking to get help with in the first place. So roll with it, man.
and the other part of his method, I mean, there's a lot of YouTube videos out there, and there was one that I watched, and where it said that the actual Wim Hof method is kind of a three-part method. There's breathing, there's the exercise, there's an exercise component, where when you're in the exhaled state, that you actually do push-ups and don't breathe while you do them.
Whoa.
They haven't tried that. But the other thing is taking cold showers. So I don't know if you're familiar with cryotherapy.
I mean a little bit. I mean, I know what it is, and I know people who have done it. I have not actually done it myself. I've been intrigued by it.
Yeah, well, one way to do it, I mean, obviously there's you can go to places where they have these pods and you sit in them, listening to Joe Rogan, like, he goes to these ones where they have the temperature's like minus 250 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah.
Yeah, and he does the whole body one too, where even his head is I think, right?
Yeah, like and you sit in there for 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm thinking, I don't know. I mean, 2 or 3 minutes isn't very long. I mean, I think you could probably stand it, but what Wim Hof was saying is that what's probably even better and closer to what you would do in a natural state would be to take ice baths. Or just super cold showers, and you know, and do that for as long as you can, and you know, because you're gonna breathe when you're doing that, like you can't help it. And I've been trying recently, or the last few months, most showers that I take, I start with a hot shower, and then I end it with, I'm not going to say super cold because I'm a wuss, but cold-ish. And now I think I'm going to really do a colder. I'm going to try to do really cold. Yeah. So maybe we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. If you want. It's really interesting to me, so.
Yeah, I may have a thing or two to say about this. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert, so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers, so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Fully cooked bacon.
Good.
We're back.
Should hope your bacon's fully cooked. I'm a lot of bacon cooked ahead of time.
Yeah.
Kind of troublesome.
I know.
I was gonna say, I mean, I eat leftover bacon, you know, if we make bacon and any of it actually survives the table, you know, I've been known to like put it in a Ziploc bag or something and wrap it up the next day, just eat it cold and not really care, because, well, it's still bacon.
Bacon's good.
You don't want to waste that stuff, so.
Right, definitely don't want to waste it. So, yeah. So, we were talking about
cold showers,
Hof method, and cold showers and cold ice baths and things like that. There's a hot springs near here. Well, actually, it's not very near here. It's in Steamboat. Well, Steamboat Springs. I'm not talking about the actual Steamboat Springs because I'm not really sure that those are springs that you can go to. But there's some springs near there that are situated right next to an ice cold river. And I went there this past summer, kind of early in the summer in June, and did the whole, you know, sitting in the hot springs and then jumping in the cold river and then getting back into the hot springs. And that was crazy. It was kind of addicting. Yeah. I didn't like just standing in the river. And, you know, maybe if I had my breathing technique a little bit better, I was more kind of panicked breathing, like, oh my God, this is, I'm going to die kind of thing. but I would swim, like I would jump in the river and swim as fast as I could to the other kind of like the other way of getting back into the springs. And, yeah, so I would do that. Kind of did that over and over. It was pretty fun. Yeah. So what are your thoughts? What's your opinion about cryotherapy in that way?
Well, sounds like a hoot. I mean, like I said, I like the idea of cryotherapy has definitely interested mm-hmm. me for a while, and I of course heard it first about it on Rogan too. And just
he has all the weird stuff on there.
I know, it's great. But you know, I've looked into it, and you know, I definitely have seen the benefits of it and stuff like that. But it's funny when you were talking about, you know, just like, I mean, even just taking like cold showers and stuff like that. Like that's something I probably could try because I actually mm-hmm. take relatively colder showers to start with. I don't like lukewarm is usually like the hottest I like to go for my showers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it actually stems from when I was younger, like back in the day. I know I've talked about this before, you know, when I was in and out of my house when I was younger, when I got booted out for a while and I was like bouncing around from different places and group homes and stuff like that. One place that I was in, there was you know, there was hot water for us, but there was only so much of it. Mm-hmm. And depending on when you got up in the morning, if you missed the early rush of the showers, there was no hot water left. So you were you didn't have a choice. If you wanted a shower, you were taking a cold shower. you know, I ended up taking quite a number of those to the point where I inadvertently was doing breathing techniques to make myself deal with it. Kind of mm-hmm. like just like forcing myself to think like warm thoughts and stuff, but basically relaxing myself and just like, you know, just like trying to breathe slowly and stuff like that. So I was actually doing it way back then without realizing what I was doing. But I kind of got used to it. So now I don't take them that cold anymore. But if I have to, I'm not as freaked out about it as most people would be.
Right.
So I could probably try to do that. I don't know. Like I said, I would definitely try the cryogenic, you know, the actual cryotherapy thing, if I could afford it. Or if somebody gave me like a free session or something, I'd definitely try it, see what it's like.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. But yeah. I don't know.
Sorry.
You're leaving already? Like, the music rolled in. She's already taken off. She's like, oh, we're going to go to the break. It's fine. I can leave. I'm done.
Not at all.
Headphones were off already. She's out.
No, but there's just like, there's a lot of like physiological benefits to both the cold water, cold showers and ice baths, cryotherapy, et cetera, as well as the breathing techniques. And, you know, I mean, you can Google that stuff. There's an idea of cold helping you maintain your brown fat, which is much better than regular fat. It's much more metabolically
that's racist.
Active, I think.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
I don't know what that is.
That's pretty good. I don't do it very well.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through
I know what that is.
Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite Lift Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by VIPCAT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at VIPCAT.org. So we are back for the second hour. Still Jeremy and Diana. I'm still one of those two. She's still the other one.
I'm the other one.
And, yeah, let's see. What do we talk about the first hour? Cold showers, crazy breathing techniques. Crazy men who run in marathons and deserts without water. That is pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I would ever want to try that, but you know, all the other stuff, sure. But yeah, so second hour here. I know Michael, who refuses to join us these days because he's just oh so busy making music and talking with his new best friend Phil, or his new old best friend Phil, I guess actually technically. but as much as this pains me to bring up, he did want us to mention that. Bitcoin is still currently, because he was talking about it last night with Daryl. As of right now, I'm looking at the price on the CMC, and it's still at just under 29 and a half cents per BIP. So if you are one of those people who are still hodling yours, good for you. If you want to rub it in, you know what you can do. As has been mentioned plenty of times on this show, I am horrible when it comes to trading and exchanging in the crypto world. There's a reason that I don't day trade regularly, because I'm very bad at it. I always time things wrong. And I recently got rid of all my BIPs. After forgetting about him for a very long time and looking, and as Michael had said, you know, it's they hung around at 2 cents for like ever, like most of the year it was around 2 cents. So, you know, a month ago when it shot up to 9 cents for like a day or two, and a couple of us got all excited and then quickly dropped back down again.
Yeah,
I was like, you know, maybe it's finally time to get rid of these, because, you know, even at the 4, 5, 6 cents, wherever it was at that point, I'm like, I could still get a couple of other coins that I do want to have, and you know, I'm still going to turn a profit, because originally I only put in, you know, I mined a bunch of them, which didn't cost me much in electricity, because that was back in the early days of BIP, when you can mine with a crappy little laptop, you know,
right,
that wasn't drawing too much power and still get a bunch of BIPs per day. You know, so I think I mined like 3,000 or 4,000 that way. But I did purchase some when the original spike in price happened, when the other coin, I think it was BitPark coin or something like that came on the market, that didn't pay attention to anything else and tried to use the BIP, for the I always forget what it's called. It's not like the call, I always want to say call signs, but that's a radio thing, or But you know how it's listed. They tried to use
BIP.
They tried to use BIP. So everybody was temporarily confused trying to buy that, and the price of Bitcoin shot up to like almost a dollar, I think, back then. And during that, I had purchased, because Michael had noticed that that was happening and said, something's probably going to happen right now. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. I'll buy some. So like I spent like, I think like $60 or something like that to get like, 10, 12,000 of them. So even though I've currently lost out on like thousands of dollars, because if I had waited, I still got like, almost $1,000 for my BIP. So that's still a pretty darn good return on $60,
Oh, for sure.
In the course of a year for not doing anything, just kind of sitting there and forgetting that they existed for a while, and then going, oh yeah, I have all these BIPs somewhere. I should do something with them.
Yeah, I still have all mine somewhere. if I can remember my password, then I would have access to them. But currently, all of my data from that computer that I mined is on a thumb drive.
Oh, wow. So,
hoping to get it onto a laptop at some point. I have a laptop. I just need to, it just needs to be fixed up. So,
gotcha.
Anyway, get some Linux loaded on it, whatnot. But speaking of coins.
Yes.
There is a new ICO.
Oh. Yes. This was very intriguing. I'm not normally big on ICOs, but this one was eye-opening.
I found out about this one today. It's Ethereum. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Ethereum.
Ethereum, yes.
Ethereum.
Yeah, I think you had it right there. Yeah. Not to be confused with Ethereum.
I was putting more syllables in there, I think. Because it's like in and then theorem. Ethereum. There we go. Ethereum. Yeah. It is an ultra-centralized, Turing-incomplete, arbitrary trust application economy based on Bob chain technology.
I'm hooked already.
This thing just cracked me up right from the very beginning. In a world becoming increasingly decentralized, only mavericks move in the other direction. I am like, satire is my thing, dude. Like, that's the thing that just gets me every single time. And so the exchange symbol for in theorem is the. T-H-E, the. And so, the first thing you see after that, and it's so funny because the site, and you're probably going to link it in the show notes, I would assume.
Yes.
But the site looks just like your typical ICO site, the way it's set up and everything. I mean, it's a really nice site. But it has, this history and everything. It's got the pre-sale has ended. And, they're saying the pre-sale has ended. I mean, you just have to see it. It's so much more funny. So what is Ethereum? Ethereum is a new platform for ultra-centralized applications with arbitrary trust. C apps allow people all over the world to conduct transactions by placing their trust in one man, Bob.
In Bob we trust.
Bob controls a worldwide public record of all transactions and is provably arbitrary. We call this record the Bob chain. The only limit on what you can do with Ethereum is Bob himself. The Bob chain is nothing more than a man in a room maintaining the state of the Ethereum network with number 2 pencil technology. New transactions come in and Bob records them. Questions about the state of a transaction go to Bob as well. He responds when he can or doesn't. Bob is chained in a room to ensure maximum uptime of the Ethereum network. We briefly considered a more arbitrary model where humans with large computers that waste energy, control wealth, and ensure trust. But then we met Bob and he seemed cool and willing to do it. Join us and let's see how it goes. What is the economy?
The is the exchange symbol for theory, the fuel that powers the Ethereum network. It's kind of like money, except we don't say that. Once a transaction has occurred, a C app can ask Bob about the state of a particular user account, and Bob will respond with an accurate answer measured in theory. Or not. It's as simple as that. Users can transfer the from one account to another just by asking Bob. Transaction failures can happen, but they are guaranteed to be arbitrary. Get some the. And then it goes on talking about the technology. It's pretty funny. Yeah. About like scalable in theorem 2.0 technology coming when necessary. And then the press and like what the press has to say about in theorem. So let's see.
Well, don't leave out. Yeah, the scalable in theory. I think it is in Ethereum actually. But yeah, that scalable Ethereum technology. Yeah, that one's great. Because it says as worldwide interest in the Ethereum network increases, success may overwhelm Bob Malone.
Right.
Foreseeing this problem, we are planning Ethereum 2.0 technology to incorporate Jenny Chain, Tim Chain, Sally Chain technology. These four chained individuals form a two-dimensional hypercube. To ensure that each one chained in the hypercube maintains the same level of arbitrariness, Ethereum 2.0 implements a quote-unquote Chinese room protocol for communication within the hypercube. Messages entering the cube are translated to Chinese, and outgoing messages are translated back to their native language. Since no one inside the cube speaks Chinese, arbitrariness is ensured.
I love that it's arbitrary and ultra centralized.
Yeah.
I hope it stays that way.
Sign me up for the Bob chain. I'm ready.
Oh, I know, bro. I love it. And the press and like what the cryptocurrency press has been saying about the Ethereum launch. After years of watching our Dogecoins rise and fall because of some random politician in Greece who doesn't even know what a public key is, the world stands ready to embrace the full arbitrariness renaissance. From CoinShill magazine. I moved to Iceland for the cheap electricity and haven't seen the sun in many months. By moving my assets onto the Bob chain, I could live anywhere in the world. I'm thinking Barbados. Do you think Bob will let me? Crypto for life. And then and I think this is my favorite. I'm up to my ears in cryptographic mumbo jumbo. Just tell me if I'm rich or not, Bob. Bit late. Its launch marks the dawn of a new era of human social activity. Wait, who's Bob? We're talking about Ethereum, right? Some guy at a Bitcoin conference. That's a good one.
Get your the, folks.
Yep, get some the.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
So we're back.
Get some the.
Yeah. Don't forget to get all over that. Yeah, the funny thing about
Hey, y'all got any more of that the?
Yeah, I mean that was really well done, like the whole page.
Oh,
and
my
everything.
Gosh.
And
yeah.
Although as Michael pointed out, they They actually had a donation page.
And, no, it was to buy the.
Oh, it's a buy. Oh, it was directly buy the. It was a link to buy the. You could use Bitcoin allegedly to buy the, but Michael checked it, and it's not a valid Bitcoin address.
Right. Which I can see where it would if. You know, it would be cool to make a donation, but maybe they made it so that you wouldn't mistakenly try to buy the, like, take the page seriously and actually try to, like, invest in it.
Yeah, although, as Michael said, if you had put a little one, people probably would have put Bitcoin there. That would have been pretty
right,
funny,
I'm sure.
Actually.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean,
hey, where's my the?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, if... If you read through that and thought that, oh, this is awesome, I have to get in on this without recognizing that it's a joke,
right.
Then, you know, I think you kind of deserve to lose your Bitcoin.
Well, I certainly hope that anyone who is who's considering investing in an ICO, that they actually really do their homework before they do that. Because some of these things are scams. And I mean, this isn't a scam, this is satire, but, you know, like, do your homework, people. Seriously.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard to, though. There's so many of these ICOs out there now, like, you know, and I've never personally dealt with them. I was thinking about it's not even the ICO. I don't even think it's even an ICO anymore because they had to cancel everything. But this one, I think it's called Shipcoin. That is supposed to be coming out. They had some issues, but because of that, they're doing like another. They're doing an airdrop of coins, and it's one of those. It's one of those Ethereum tokens.
Okay.
So as long as you're in their network somehow. So as long as you either like their Facebook page or their Twitter page or you're in their Telegram group, which I am, you'll have access to the airdrop. So I was like. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, wow.
They're gonna drop a whole bunch of coins for free. I'll take them just to see what happens.
Yeah.
But overall, I haven't gotten involved in any of these like pre-sales for these ICOs or stuff like that. Number one, I haven't learned enough about them to really get super excited about any of them. Secondly, I don't have any money to be putting towards any of this stuff anyway.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a risk no matter what for sure.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah.
You know, but yeah, you are right. There are a lot of these that are just straight, you know, obviously there's risk involved in all of them, but there are a lot of these that are straight up scams simply because there are so many of them and because there are so many people like that are just getting into the market, you know, getting into the crypto world that have no idea what they're doing. And it's quite easy to take advantage of people like that, you know? So,
yeah.
I can't really, you know, well, I don't really approve of that behavior. I understand why it happens.
Yeah. And I'm just over here. I just hodl and don't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, on one level, I probably would have been better off if I had done that. If I had just hodled my original Bitcoin and my Bipcoin, I might be in a little better. I mean, I'm okay right now, but I might actually be better off. If I had just left everything alone, you know, because I'd still have my BIPs, which would, you know, again, are currently almost at 30 cents a piece. And then I'd have even more Bitcoin. But I try not to do too much. I can't buy in anymore right now. All I can hope to do is mine some more. Because I already laid out the money for that mining rig that I bought a couple months ago. So.
Oh, sweet.
You know, that's why I'm just plugging away with my miner and, you know, getting some cheaper coins that hopefully I can either trade in for something else one day. And knowing me, I'll trade them in and then they'll skyrocket the day after. Or, you know, maybe I'll actually learn my lesson this time and I'll hodl long enough for the darn things to actually gain value on their own. And then I could just trade those straight up for something else.
Right. Yeah, my experience is similar. Well, I mean, I didn't really trade my Bitcoin as much as I need the cash, so I cashed them in. And yeah,
I did some of that too.
It kind of makes me sick right now to think about that, but you know, it is what it is. Anyway,
yeah.
All right.
So is the crypto world.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
I love The Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to The Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to The Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to The Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Sort of like back and stuff. And we actually had this one story we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
Not a very happy story. We've been having a good time so far, so we might as well slam on the brakes for a little bit and bring some reality in. Mm-hmm. And this is actually a story. Michael actually sent this to us, but it had actually been sent to me by multiple people earlier today. with people's little commentary going along with it, and nobody was very happy about this. But there's a story. I think this was in Louisiana, right?
Yeah.
There was a board meeting going on at this school.
School board meeting, yeah.
Yeah, school board meeting
for that parish.
And yeah, in the Vermilion Parish in southern Louisiana, and one of the teachers got up to kind of like protest the fact that they were announcing that the superintendent was getting like a $4,000 a year raise. And this one teacher got up to say, like, you know, kind of be like,
wait, 4,000
or was it 40,000? I'm sorry.
I think it was. Well, I read in another article, maybe not this one, I think it was 30,000 still.
More. Well, whatever it was the fact that the teachers, like the rest of the staff in the school district, hadn't gotten raises at all in years.
In like 10 years.
Yeah. And it's like, why is the superintendent getting this raise? And the board quickly tried to shut her down and was like, mm-hmm. you know, basically saying you're out of order, and you know,
or that what she was saying wasn't germane.
Yeah, it's like, no, where's our money? You know, what's going on here? Type of thing. So yeah, they tried to shut her down, and they have a resource officer at this hearing, which as is in most cases with these school resource officers, they're actually usually local cops that are kind of like on loan for the school that what they say. So this cop proceeds to get up, you know, this big guy goes up to this, you know, relatively small woman and basically tells her that she's going to have to leave. And, you know,
and she starts leaving on her own accord.
Yeah.
Or of her own accord.
Go ahead. As she gets outside, it gets even worse.
Right. She gets into the hallway and because there's a video that goes with the story, but I've seen a couple of videos on this so far, but you start hearing her screaming, and the marshal has her on the floor and is handcuffing her, and don't really know what happened in between her leaving the room and getting into the hallway. But yeah. And you know, he's telling her not to resist. And she's like, I'm not, you're a lot bigger than me. You just forced me to the ground. You know, I mean, it was pretty messed up. And Michael sent it to us and said, you know, it was an example of government eating its own, which is pretty true. You know, she's a government employee and she's questioning the government, and they shut her down. So.
Yeah, and I think I saw at least in a couple of places that she was charged, among other things, with not resisting arrest, with resisting mm-hmm. an officer. Mm-hmm. You know, basically the officer said something and you said no, so nope, we're going to charge you with this, which, you know, resisting arrest is usually one of the biggest BS charges there are out there. It gets tacked on, you know, mm-hmm. to like just about everything. And there's numerous cases where people have been arrested simply for that. Like that somehow that manages to be the only charge they're hit with.
It's that like, that they resisted.
It's yeah. like, wait a minute. If I'm not being charged with another arrestable offense, how could I possibly be resisting arrest? But no, that's happened numerous times. But yeah, you know, like you said, you can't really be sure what happened in between, but like, I hate that just because that's the go-to with the cop apologist all the time. It's like, oh, you don't have the full story. Well, you know, no matter what you actually do see or know, it's like, well, we have to get the full details first. It's like, come on, man. Sometimes it's blatantly obvious. And, you know, when you have the size disparity you had here, and you can tell that this was just like, this was an upset teacher. And, you know, it, mm-hmm. by all accounts, it seems rightly so, especially if the number was that high. Like I said, I thought it was the pay increase was even lower. If it was as high as you're talking about, then even more so I would understand why she would stand up and say something. But to immediately be shut down and then dragged out of the, you know, be told you have to leave you know, a board meeting when you're one of the teachers there.
Well, and what was kind of crazy about that situation is one of the videos that I watched of it, she had stood up, She had spoken once and then sat back down and then got up to speak, raised her hand, and someone on the board said, yes, ma'am. So she was addressed and like welcome to stand up again. And she did. And that's when the officer walked up to her and she was asking a question about the raise. Like, how are you taking a raise? You know, when you're basically taking it from the teachers and other employees under you. And she had addressed the issue of their class sizes that had gone. And I think she addressed that before. They had gone from like 21 to 29 kids in a class, ridiculous government schools. But, And one of the board members was actually talking to her or actually was addressing what she was saying, you know, other than the dude that said, stop, you know, that your question's not germane. But I think another board member was actually trying to talk to her when the officer walked up and told her to leave, you know. And as she was leaving, she was saying, you know, like, he was trying to talk to me, like he was trying to, like, you know, and this is not right. And it was, yeah, I mean, everybody that was there was just like, this is crazy, cannot believe this is happening. Yeah, believe it, people. Yeah, this is your government.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, you know. And like I was saying before, you know, we don't know exactly what transpired, but like, what you can see in the video in the aftermath and like some mm-hmm. and like some of the still shots I've seen, it's like you see this much smaller woman not only being, you know, down on the ground, but like almost like down on the ground and shoved up against the wall on top of her, mm-hmm. you know, like yeah. kind of just like slammed down there.
Right. And I've never had this happen, but from what I understand, when you're cuffed like that, you know, behind your back, it's not comfortable.
I think that
they're not really all that careful about how tightly they cuff you. You know, and you know, you've got your hand, it's not a comfortable position, especially when they're grabbing you from, you know, grabbing your arms from behind, you know, pushing you. It hurts. And I think she said that too. In the hallway, she's like, you're hurting me. But yeah, I mean, way worse things have happened than that, but it's just another example of, yeah, the police state. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and well, I mean, You're talking about them not being careful, and going back to the story we were talking about earlier with the police dogs and how they're trained to do certain things. That actually is, as far as I know, and I've gotten confirmation of this from a couple of people I know that either were or are still currently cops. That they were kind of, you know, those are things they're kind of trained to do too. Like, not necessarily, you know, not be very careful, but use that to their advantage of, you know, making you as uncomfortable as possible. So yeah, in most situations they will make them a little tighter than necessary. Just to make you that much more uncomfortable, to give them,
because they're sadists.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's under the guise of making sure they have the upper hand at all times,
right?
But they definitely take advantage of that, and, and you know, yeah. So this is, you know, again, this is one of those things that, regardless of having the full story or not, I know where my biases take me immediately, you know.
This seems to me
to be one of those clear cut cases of Will Griggs' wonderful test of being a libertarian. You know, when it comes to issues with the cops, who do you side with right away? If right away you look at who the cop was arresting and go, what the heck could they have possibly done to warrant that happening to them?
Right.
You're a libertarian, versus if you're the type of person who goes, well, we don't have the full story yet. We got to believe the cop was, you know, the cop was in the right. Yeah, then you're an authoritarian. So thank you very much.
that's a pretty easy test.
It is, but that's, you know. Which, you know, back in the day, I would have fallen on the authoritarian side way too often, unfortunately. But I've learned the error of my ways. And yeah, like I said, you can call it my confirmation or bias if you want. But, you know, most of the times I turn out to be on the right side of this. The cops usually are doing things that they shouldn't be doing to people, regardless of whether it's actually legal what they do or not. It's just stuff they should not be doing, because, you know. Why should people be getting arrested? And, you know, regardless of what you think about, and even myself, because I've talked, you know, so wonderfully about public servants time and time again. But what you think about public school teachers or anything, that stuff, like, nobody deserves to be treated like that for asking a question.
No, you definitely know? Not. Yeah. And what here's my thinking around people who choose to be a public school teacher is that 9 times out of 10, you know, they probably have really good intentions. You know, they probably, what their goal is to actually go in and actually help kids. They're naive if they think that they're actually going to do anything like that, given the system. But I take people's intentions into account. And yeah, you're right. I mean, she, regardless of her chosen profession, did not deserve to be treated that way at all. I mean, she was being peaceful and reasonable. She was raising, you know, objections to what she saw as, you know, objectable behavior. And, you know, she was clearly angry, but she wasn't cussing or being disrespectful or anything.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, she was up until the point that she got, you know, got asked to leave, you know, physically removed, so to speak. She was still actually being addressed by the board. It's not like she was like standing up and they were saying order, and she was screaming over top of them and continuing to go. She was literally being addressed so that she could get, you know, have her say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I also too wonder, and I don't think it's very clear whether the marshal or officer or whatever he was actually, it looks like he was a deputy city marshal who was employed under a contract with that particular parish.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Most of the cases with school resource cops, that's what they are. They're right. Cops, they're local cops who get paid extra to be there.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of driving your kids to G.G. Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, Meow Bit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
And we were talking during the break. I was, anyway. I got super intrigued by the Sling Bow commercials. So I looked one up. I'm looking them up. I've been wanting something along those lines. So, who knows? I may get myself a Sling Bow.
You go get that Sling Bow.
I think that would be fun. But anyway, so we were talking about this teacher arrested at a school board meeting. And one of the things that I think it wasn't really shown, I don't think, was whether the cop, because he goes up to her and he's like blocking her. He's like, he's standing in front of her, in between, you know, her and the members of the school board.
Like she was going to charge them or something.
Yeah, it was weird. And he's telling her, you know, you're going to have to leave or I'll remove you, blah, blah, blah. And he actually goes to touch her. And she's like, don't you put your hands on me or something like that, which I was glad she did that. She seemed like a pretty courageous woman, but I'm not sure if he actually went up to her on his own. Because he saw or perceived some sort of threat happening. I don't know how he could have, but, or if one of the board members, you know, I don't hear anything when I watch the video, but, you know, perhaps motioned for him to go over there or something,
going back to what we were talking about earlier about, you know, voiceless commands.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. He was trained properly.
Exactly, the cop's the dog in that situation.
Yeah, and then the other interesting thing, I thought was kind of interesting was that this dude that was whose contract was renewed that night. The vote fell in favor of his contract renewal, and the raise, I think, went along with it. Apparently, the vote had been a 4-4 deadlock until a board member died in November.
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy. Yep.
Illuminati confirmed.
Right. Which changed the composition of the board. So,
What did this board member know about Hillary Clinton?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it became 5-3 in favor of the new contract because the appointed member, voted in favor of the renewal. And, you know, and there were a lot of things said about, oh, this is not really a democracy. Yeah, that's your democracy right there. That's democracy. They were saying that, you know, that the superintendent, because this was the superintendent contract renewal and it should have been put to a vote, you know, to like the people of the parish and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, yeah, whatever. I mean, that, you know, I don't know. It's like, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you would think these people would learn their lessons, but probably not.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you were saying before, I mean, and I think it mentions this in the article that, you know, nobody actually knows why the guy, you know, why the resource officer, I hate that term, but why he did what he did, because there's no, you know, there's no indication of what, you know, whether he acted on his own or not. But this article that we had was from the New York Times, and they actually tried to reach out, and only one of the board members actually returned comment when they were trying to figure out, like, hey, did you know, you guys ask this guy to do this, or did he just do it on his own? And only one of them responded, and he didn't actually answer that question directly. He just said he was like, he agreed with her being physically removed, you know, which says a lot. But again, obviously, you know, regardless of having all the details, the fact that she was, you know, that we mentioned earlier, the fact that she was still being addressed by one of the board members as she was being told she had to leave, and this one other board member was trying to slam the gavel down and be like, you know, that's it, you're out of here, you know, your time's up, basically, you can't speak here anymore.
Yeah.
Obviously, this wasn't like a unanimous decision to throw her out, and which makes it all the more suspect that she was, you know, removed from the room, seemingly roughed up a little bit, and actually arrested, because like he just basically held her there and then called the rest of his cop buddies to come down and
call for backup.
Well, because he's not allowed to leave in that situation. That I understand. Right. If he's working under contract, he's got to stay there. But
yeah, okay, yeah. Well,
whatever. It's horrible all around.
Yep.
But this has been a fun show.
It has been. Yep, as usual. Yeah, there was actually another board member, it looks like, that responded to requests for comment, like a LeBouf. We love that.
Shy?
Name. No.
More arms.